This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hit my music.
You're listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich. This is episode 135, and it's another Music Memories episode. And today I am joined by a returning guest here. He is one of the hosts of the Jumping Bomb Audio Podcast, as well as the Panels on Pages Popcast. It's Kelly Harris. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on, of course. Doing a little back-to-back dose here of Jumping Bomb Audio, because on the last episode, I had your co-host on, Taylor.
Oh, that's right.
Now you're
here.
So, you know, that's pretty cool. And it's been a while since you've been on, actually. Last time you were on was 4 years ago for the Young Bucks episode, and that was right before All In.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been a good long while there, Kelly. But how are things going for you these days?
Pretty good. I mean, the world's always on fire, but it seems like it's getting slightly less on fire. So, you know, things are going all right.
Yeah, a lot's changed since then, that's for sure. A lot has not changed since then as well.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest change connecting to All In would be AEW, of course. And speaking of which, you and I are going to meet up in person for the first time next month at the Forbidden Door Show in Chicago.
Hell
which,
yeah.
You know, should be a lot of fun. And we're going to be in one of those nice suites as well, Kelly. No dirty, stinking, filthy masses for us. We're going to be high above the plebs on that night, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome to see everyone from Voices of Wrestling. It's going to be great to not deal with any of those dirty wrestling fans. Disgusting. But not you if you're listening. If you're listening, you're beautiful. You smell great.
Of course. Yeah. And I remember I woke up around 11 that day when the presale started. And right away, I just saw people online being like, there's 4,000 people ahead of me in the line. I'm never going to get through to get tickets. And the WrestleTix seating chart just got more and more desolate as the minutes ticked away. And it's like, you know, we've all been there, of course. We've all been part of the mad dash for tickets. But sometimes, you know, it's nice to pay a little bit more and be part of a suite and not have to worry about that craziness, you know. So we made the right choice in that regard, Kelly, I think.
Oh, for sure. Worth every penny. Because it was even just a pain in the ass trying to get tickets for the Milwaukee show that's coming up. Like, I was in the queue for a while, and I ended up with tickets that I'm honestly not super happy with, but it's like, I'll go to the show still.
Yeah, I mean, AEW is a pretty hot ticket these days, just in general.
Yeah.
And doing their first ever joint show with New Japan in Chicago, in the United Center, that's a really big deal. So no wonder they sold out all those tickets in you know, mere minutes.
Yeah.
And again, it's nice to not be part of that whole scramble. You know, you do feel like with the suite, you do feel like a Morton Joe just looking down.
Do not become addicted to the tickets. They will take hold of you and you will hate their absence. You know, you do feel like a god in that respect, Kelly.
Yeah, we'll pour down a little water for the people when we're up in the suite. It'll be great.
Yeah, Nathan Jones will be there. It'll be a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah.
But but anyway, we're here today to do another Music Memories episode. I do these every so often to break things up. And for those that don't know, Music Memories is when I have on a guest and they talk about three memories of their wrestling fandom that are strongly linked to music in some way. Could be from a certain wrestler, a certain show, a video game, an album, a TV show or movie about wrestling, perhaps. And it's meant to be just a quick and casual conversation about these memories and no real hard analysis of the songs themselves. And I gotta say, Kelly, I'm a little shocked you didn't pick Lana's theme. I'm a bit surprised.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm still sad she got let go, because we're never going to hear that song ever again.
It is a shame. It is a shame, yeah. I mean, who among us does not have strong memories of I mean, it's
just the
it's
best.
Part of our DNA at this point, for God's sake.
God,
but
so good.
Yeah, yeah, but no. In all seriousness, you do have some pretty good picks here. Pretty obvious ones as well. Looking at the list, but hey, look, it's your episode. There's no wrong answers, obviously, so it's gonna be fun regardless, I think.
Yeah. All right. So, want to just jump right into it then?
Let's get into it. Yeah, Kelly, what is your first music memory for us?
So my first music memory brings us to Will Ospreay's theme, Elevated by It Lives, It Breathes. So this song, more than anything to me, represents my 2019 trip to Japan and just seeing Ospreay win the best of the Super Juniors against Shingo. So it's like, it's that song is just forever tied to that trip. And like, the song itself, it's fine. Like, I like it. It's nothing I would listen to, you know, outside of it being a wrestling theme, but like, it's just so, like, oddly emotional for me, because there is the moment when, like, you know, Ospreay wins, and it's just, like, I had this weird moment of, like, yeah, buddy, we did it. Like, you won. I'm here for the first time in Japan. Here I am in Sumo Hall, just in one of the boxes, just watching this incredible show. Like, I want to go back so bad. I'm so glad I got to go when I did before everything caught fire, as I said earlier.
Yeah, that 2019 for Will Ospreay, that was just a pantheon level year for him. I mean, yeah. You know, he's still the best in the world right now, of course, you know, but that year in particular, it was like every match, bang, 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 great match after great match. And that was true for Super Juniors too. I mean, him and Shingo had that contest to see who could have the most bangers, you know, in that tournament. And it culminated in that final, which is just incredible. And one match of the year everywhere. And I am very jealous. Got to see that one live, that's for sure. I mean, I did see Bucks versus Lucha Brothers in the Cage live last year.
Ooh, yeah, that's
which
good.
Which is another match of the year winner, of course. I did see that. But I would have loved to have seen Shingo versus Ospreay live, especially with the pandemic that came around later. And put a little damper on traveling and big Japanese crowds and all that stuff, Kelly. So
yeah, and like that match it's my favorite match I've ever seen live, and it's one of those where I'm like, it's 5 stars, and I can't even really look at it objectively just because it's like, no, it was the best. Like I was there, and it was incredible. So nothing is wrong with it. Every minute of it is perfect. And it's just like, I always remember the guy in the box next to us just in full, like, Bushi cosplay. It was just like Bushi was sitting next to us, and he's going nuts for Shingo and stuff. And just after the match, we're all celebrating, like, gave each other the double thumbs up. Just, it was such a cool moment to be able to, like, just experience that with just this whole crowd. And you know, the Japanese fans are very respectful. No one ever makes noise.
Oh, of course, yes. Very, very silent, very peaceful. Yeah. Never get rowdy, ever. Yes. Right, yeah.
Yeah. No, couldn't be further from the truth. Everyone was just losing their minds. It was so good. And just, yeah, that song just represents that whole trip to me, where it was just some of the cool, like, the coolest 2 weeks of my life. Like, I can't wait to go back. And that match is something I pop on every now and then and just confirm to myself, like, yep, still rules. Still love this.
Yeah, and they've had more matches since then, which have also been amazing. Like that.
Oh yeah.
That Shingo Ospreay rivalry has just been absolutely tremendous. That's for sure. Who else was with you on that trip, by the way? It was you, John, I think Taylor, who else?
Yeah, so in the box we were in, it was me, Taylor, Paul, and then Taylor's friend Albert, who famously fell asleep during a recording of Wrestling Omakase. And then, yeah, John and Quinlan were also there. They were, I think that was the show they got front row seats to? I could be wrong, but I think that's why they weren't in the box with us. But yeah, it was a fun Voices of Wrestling brain trust go wander around Japan and hold my hand and make sure I don't get lost.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing all those photos of you guys over there and going to all these different shows, and it's like, man, I cannot wait to go over there on the next trip. And the next trip never came because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that's a lesson for you that nothing lasts forever, you know, whether it's because of a pandemic or in the case of Ospreay and this theme song, Elevated, a changing character. You know, yeah. These halcyon days, golden eras, whatever you want to call them, they don't go on forever. They do end. Yeah. So appreciate the good times while they're here, because they can just go away like that, Kelly.
Yeah, and it's such a babyface theme. Like, he couldn't use that as a heel.
No. No, I brought that up with Neil David a few episodes ago, right?
Yeah, it just pumps you up. You're just, you can't boo a guy with that. I mean, you can, but there's a lot of people don't like him, obviously. But you can't boo that guy with that theme. It's so gets you ready and gets you excited to see something cool about to happen. And like, I was thinking about it last night, actually. Like, I'd have to go through and really kind of do a ranking of the best matches I've seen live. I think Ospreay's in like three of my top five, because I've got the match with Shingo, I've got the Mania weekend match against Matt Riddle, and then very recently the Chicago match against Mox.
Right.
Like, just so good.
Yeah. Were you there when Ospreay wrestled Dragon Lee at Dominion and won the junior title? Did you see that?
Yes, that match.
That's another amazing match, right? I mean, it's incredible, again, how amazing his year was that year. And he's still pumping out all these bangers, you know, like nothing. It's crazy. But yeah. All right, well, that's the first one done. Kelly, what is your second music memory?
So my second music memory comes to us from, I said it in the pre-show, Kevin Owens. Kevin Steen is who we're talking about here. His Ring of Honor theme, Unsettling Differences by Blue Smock Nancy. This song represents just this entire era of Ring of Honor shows that I went to, because Ring of Honor started to run Turner Hall in Milwaukee, which is such a cool wrestling venue. It's an older music venue, essentially. Like, and you know it's older because you look up and there is like a net on the ceiling to protect you from any like falling ceiling parts. So that's how you know it's old, but it's such a cool venue and it's perfect for wrestling. And Ring of Honor used to run there all the time, and eventually they outgrew it and they actually stopped coming to Milwaukee for quite a while until they could find a bigger venue. And then COVID and all that stuff. So then we, and then they went out of business and Tony Khan bought them. So now who knows if and when they'll ever come back or will, where they'll run. But like, I just have such fond memories of those Turner Hall shows, and Kevin Steen is a big part of it. Like the first show they had in 2012 was the Bruce City Beatdown, and the main event was Jimmy Jacobs and Kevin Steen versus the Briscoes in an anything goes match. And like the, I think it was Mark Briscoe jumped off the balcony, because of course you've got to. Yeah, and it's just so much, like, there's so many good matches I've seen in that venue, and Kevin Owens is just, or, damn it, I did it again. Kevin Steen is just such a big part of that. Like, that's, he was in the first match I got to see the Young Bucks in live in person. It was a trios match. It was Elgin and the Briscoes versus Steen and the Young Bucks. And that was just so cool getting to see the Bucks in person for the first time back in 2014. Like, I love that era of Ring of Honor. It's so good. And then there was a little, right around that time, I want to say it was the summer of 2014. I'm looking at a doc, because I have a doc that I keep with all the wrestling shows I've been to. And like all the cage match results and stuff. So I've been referring to this. So in summer of 2014, Bruce City Wrestling ran a show at the State Fair in the Expo Center. And one of the people booked for that show was Kevin Steen. So it's like, hey, we'll go watch that. Why not? You know, can't look at cows and eat cream puffs all day. But so go wait in the show. And I'm looking at like the merch table area, and there's just Kevin Steen just hanging out, just sitting there like waiting for people to come buy merch. And I was like, screw it, I'll go talk to him. And he was just the sweetest guy. Like, he's awesome. Like, and if you ever get the chance to meet Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens in some regard, do it. He's super cool. We were talking about the, I think it was like the, not the previous Ring of Honor show in Milwaukee, but the one before that. There was a series of matches where it was Kyle O'Reilly versus Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards versus Bobby Fish. And I was telling him like how Davey did a Davey dive and just plowed through the front row and stopped like maybe 6 inches from just wiping my mom out in the crowd. And he was like, oh my God, was she okay? And I was like, yeah, no, she was fine. She was fine. But just like, it was this immediate concern he showed where he's like, I know what Davey dives can do to people. But yeah, it was just so cool getting to meet him and like have a decent conversation. Cause like, again, there was no one else around. So we just kind of shot the shit for a while. It was super cool. He's an awesome guy. Like, I've always kind of I always liked him before then, but ever since then, it's always been like, I really want this dude to just have as much success in wrestling as possible. So it's like, yeah, Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, love that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's no big secret. Like, everything we've heard about Kevin, he is like the best guy ever. So no big surprise there that he would show concern over the Davey dive on your poor mother there, Kelly. So yeah.
And then I remember one more thing about that show is Bruce City played the same, like, because I at that point I had his entrance music on my iPhone or iPod. I don't remember what it was at that point that I had ripped from YouTube. And it was very shitty quality, but it was the whatever. And I realized when he was coming in, Bruce City must have either ripped or was playing the same YouTube video, because I could hear the same like just weird audio for the song. It's like, hang on a second, this sounds like it's on my phone. Yeah, I want to say he wrestled Beer City Bruiser at that show. I could be misremembering, because I actually don't have a match card for that one in my doc, but I'm pretty sure that's who he wrestled.
A Milwaukee staple, Beer City Bruiser.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that era of ROH, they didn't come to my area around that time, I don't think. And even if they did, I wrote an article last year for the VOW 10 series. I didn't go to wrestling shows at all for a very long time because I'm a bit of an introvert and around that time I was in college as well and didn't have a car, so I didn't go to an ROH show until 2018, a War of the Worlds show.
Okay.
And that was a very different era than the one you talked about, and which itself was, again, a very different era from the classic, you know, shows of the mid-2000s. We're talking like early days of the Sinclair years, where
yeah.
Steen and Davey and Eddie and the Briscoes and Roderick Strong and Scum and Cole and O'Reilly and Mike Mondo and Jim Cornette. And, you know, the Bucks were there for a little bit and then they were gone. So, I mean, overall, it was a pretty good roster. It's just that it's kind of sandwiched in between the nostalgic classic Gabe era of the mid-2000s and the New Japan Bullet Club Elite era when they got really big with that association. So I wouldn't say that era is, you know, underrated. I think there were a lot of great matches during that time period. A lot of gold
definitely.
In them, their hills. It's just that compared to, you know, those two other eras, you know, people may not have as deep of a nostalgic fondness for it, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, trying to make Mike Mondo a thing in any era is a bit strange, Kelly. I can't lie.
Yeah. Referring to my doc, that first 2012 show I went to, the second match, Jay Lethal defeats Mike Mondo.
Hey, there you go.
I remember seeing that. It was like, hang on. Because I actually, at that time, I wasn't really following Ring of Honor. So I see him, I'm like, is that the Spirit Squad guy? He seems real angry now, but that's the Spirit Squad guy right there. Yeah, and then that era like led into pretty much, honestly, the rise of the Bucks and getting us to AEW. Like one of the shows, what is this one? It was, I think Death Before Dishonor Night 1 from 2014. That show had two of the best live matches I've ever seen, with AJ Styles facing Kyle O'Reilly and the Briscoes versus the Bucks. Like, both those matches are incredible. It's like, yeah, and that era, again, if we didn't have that era, I don't think there's an AEW.
Yeah, I mean, 2014, that was the beginning of the ROH-New Japan relationship.
Yeah.
And the Bucks were certainly part of that, and a few years later, along comes Kenny Omega, and then along comes Cody, and it just snowballs from there to AEW. Absolutely. It's weird to look back on that era of ROH, and Kevin Steen in particular. Like, that whole thing of, like, the Generico feud, the Davey feud, the world title run and all that, that's, like, a decade ago already, if
yeah.
not more. It's it's nuts. Like, and that's an era of ROH where, again, I wasn't following it fully, but I was trying to keep up with it as best I could. And Steen was 100% the biggest deal in that company for those few years. You know, invading the shows and jujitsu jack-off and all that stuff. Like, yeah, we'll probably never get that Kevin Steen ever again, I don't think. You know, he's firmly in the WWE bubble at this point. But it is fun to reminisce on Kevin Steen and ROH and those days. Maybe not so much the iPay-per-views, because the streams were awful back then, so
yeah.
I don't miss that part of it, Kelly, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was very much like, oh, this show is unwatchable. Literally, I cannot watch this. This is horrible. Those days are finally, for the most part, behind us in at least American wrestling, for the most part. Like, still in Japan, you get Nico Nico, and not great. Not great.
Yeah, thankfully we reached a point where technology has advanced, and the days of bad streams are mostly behind us. We do get the occasional hiccup every now and again, including the Chicago New Japan show you went to last month, Kelly. That was pretty much unwatchable on Fight, unfortunately, so that did mm-hmm. suck for a lot of people. But for the most part, we are pretty lucky when it comes to streaming wrestling shows these days, Kelly.
Yeah, I still want to know what happened with that show, because it was like that. There were those issues and then the issues of getting everyone into the building.
Oh, right. I saw the photos online of like nobody there. And
yeah.
And you were in the Slack like, you know, the line is ridiculous. What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because like the show had started. We were still outside. So, but yeah, awesome show. Definitely. Now that it's fixed on the VOD, go back and watch it.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
All right, time now for the third and final music memory. Kelly, what do you got?
All right, this is a song that, honestly, until I looked it up, I don't think I really knew the title of. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme, I Won't Do What You Tell Me by Jim Johnston. This is a classic. It's a classic song. If you grew up in the Attitude Era and you hear glass break somewhere, you immediately expect Stone Cold Steve Austin to pop out of somewhere, like just drop out of the ceiling and give you a stunner. A couple weeks back, my boss dropped her bowl that she brought her lunch in. I was like, oh man, Stone Cold's here. But yeah, like Stone Cold was my favorite wrestler growing up. Like I loved that dude. Looking back, I got 1 year for Christmas, I got a framed picture of Stone Cold. And looking back, what a weird gift of just a shirtless man in jean shorts. Like, that's a bizarre gift to give to a child if you think about it. But you know what? It was cool as hell. I hung it on my wall. It was awesome. And just like that, I kind of wonder. I was thinking about this with like WrestleMania this year when Stone Cold showed up. I don't know what I would feel like watching those segments if I didn't live through him in his heyday. You know, it's like, would I even care? But it's like that, having seen all that, having lived through that, it's the ultimate nostalgia. Like, I'm always going to pop for Stone Cold coming out and giving someone a stunner. That's how it is. You know, it's like, I can't imagine having not lived through that. Like, were you watching then through the heyday? I can't remember.
Oh, no, I was 2003, so I was well past that. No.
Okay, so like how does the Stone Cold nostalgia hit you? Like, does it connect at all, or
oh, yeah.
Kind of just like, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was still part of the shows for the most part as like the co-GM of Raw or the sheriff of Raw or whatever.
Yeah.
So he was still like on TV, and I would look up clips online, and they would play clips on TV of him from the older days, so... Yeah, even though I didn't experience the mania, no pun intended, of Steve Austin in his heyday, you know, 1999 in real time, I still grew to like him, you know, as a character, and I still grew to understand why he became such a massive, massive, massive deal. Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember, like, I have this distinct memory of after WrestleMania 17, when Austin turns heel. I have this distinct memory after the show. I had this necklace, and I think it was pewter. It was like a pewter Steve Austin skull. Like, it had Austin 316 on the side, and you know, I wore it whenever I watched the shows and stuff. And after he turned heel, I remember being in the bathroom, holding it over the toilet, just thinking about flushing it, because I felt just so
betrayed.
Betrayed. And like, I think I knew that wrestling was fake by then. I want to say I did. But it's like, it got me. And eventually I settled on, no, I'm not going to flush it. I don't want to break the toilet. not just, hang on, maybe he's not going to be healed and this is a cool necklace. I should keep this. It was, no, I don't want to break the toilet. I also didn't throw it away. So like, I must have just fully talked myself out of it. But I know for sure my child logic was, don't break the toilet, you'll get in trouble. So yeah, that one, that's like, as much as I love WrestleMania 17, that is my, like, that's the memory for me, is after the show, is just feeling so betrayed. It's much the same with Hogan turning heel. I remember being, what was I, 4 years old, bawling my eyes out, because Hulk Hogan turned his back on all the little Hulkamaniacs. It was that all over again.
Holding your little Hulkamania shirt over the toilet. You let me down, Hulkster. Why? Tell me why, damn it.
And then I also wanted to talk about Stone Cold's Glass Shatters theme by Disturbed. You live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Strap on, cause you're the next one in line for the kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Strap on, I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Stop breaking, I'm a hit inside you. Stop making some more to hide you. I'm breaking, I'm a hit inside you. Stop making some more to hide you. Yeah, I like this. A lot of people crap on it. I love this version of his theme. It's great. Like, I was a big Disturbed fan growing up. Disturbed was my first concert. I went to see them the day before I went into eighth grade, and I was in the fan club. I got to meet them. They were all super nice, and so it's just I didn't even know Disturbed the band then. It was just, oh, Stone Cold's got a new theme, it's a cool version of it. And then later, years later, I kind of put the pieces together. It's like, hey, wait a minute, Disturbed did that theme.
I know that voice, I know those animal noises, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was very much one of those moments of, oh my god, they did that. But yeah, so it's just like, even when they changed up his theme, I still loved it, and it was still kind of just tied into my taste in music and wrestling and all that stuff. So it was awesome. And again, I can't, like, Stone Cold's probably my all-time favorite. Like, I don't have, besides the, you've got the Rock matches and the Bret Hart match, obviously, but I don't really have that many other, like, oh, this is like five-star classic. But it's just all the other stuff surrounding him. Like, he was just so good at, like, just being a wrestler, you know. He was just so good at being a character and being memorable. Yeah, I can't, like, he's any, again, anytime you hear Glass break, burner 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 burner, burner, like, just that instantly goes through your brain.
Yeah, I think a lot of Austin fans are in the same boat, where it's not about necessarily the matches, it's more about the overall package. And I think the theme is a pretty big part of that package and that legacy. You know, you think of Austin, you think of the glass shattering, you think of the guitar riff, the crowd going nuts, you know, JR screaming, Austin, Austin! You know, that's part of the whole deal, really, with him. And to this day, that song still elicits, like, the biggest pops in a wrestling show.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Mania this year. Like, who got a bigger pop than Stone Cold when that theme hit, you know? And I'll be honest, even the cold-hearted cynic that I can be about WWE most of the time, I enjoyed that match with Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, it was full of plunder and smoke and mirrors, as it would be, and Kevin took 95% of the bumps, but Austin took a few too. And, you know, for a 57-year-old Steve Austin, who hasn't done anything beyond just a stunner in, like, what, 20 years or whatever, you know, be that as it may, was what it was. What it was a very nice moment for everybody involved, Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, hell, he took that ridiculous suplex bump on the floor for some reason.
Yeah.
And no matter what bump he was taking, it was going to be better than Vince's stunner, which...
Oh, yeah.
Please let that be the last one he ever takes.
Yeah, it was like Vince was coated in butter.
Yeah.
And Austin was trying to hang on to him. God damn it, you slippery bastard. Stay with me. God damn it.
Yeah, like, And I really think, like, if Stone Cold's theme, if I had to rank wrestling themes, it's probably number one for me. Just, like, I can't think of anything else that just immediately elicits such, like, just a happy feeling for me. It's just like, oh, yeah, this is why I love wrestling. This is everything here. It encompasses all of it. And it's, like, it's hard to explain. Because, you know, it's just something you feel. It's, like... You can't really explain, like, how you smell or how you breathe. I mean, you do it. That's how you go through life. And that's just part of Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme. All of a sudden, it gives you the warm and fuzzies of just, like, here, this is your childhood. This is everything you love about wrestling. This is all your favorite things all crammed into one. And it all triggers when you hear glass break.
Yeah. I mean, it's an obvious pick, of course, but I can't blame you for it. It does give you the warm and fuzzies when it hits. Even sometimes when it hits and it's David Draymond just yelling at you, I'm bringing the lemon inside you. I do like that one, too. I can't lie.
Yeah.
But
no,
I am.
We're really all just down with the sickness.
We are. Yes. Ooh, of course. But I am reminded of a story that Kevin Steen once told on the Kevin Steen Show to Jimmy Jacobs one time, where when he was younger and playing with his wrestling figures, he wanted to replicate Austin's entrance, but instead of like singing the song or playing it off an album, what he did was he took like a ceramic mug. And he threw it against the wall, hoping it would shatter. But the wall wasn't brick. It was like a regular wall. So it just, ploop, got stuck in the wall. And just stayed there. And the kicker is like, okay, you think Kevin is like, I don't know, 5 or 6 or whatever. And Kevin goes, I was 17. And Jimmy Jacobs like pretty much does a spit take right then and there. So that's a story I always think of when I think of like Kevin Steen and Steve Austin.
Yep, that's, yeah, now that you mentioned it, I've heard that. And just... Think of how many stories like that, like a dude like Matt Cardona must have. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, when we moved from our apartment to the house, at one point, you know, we're just, you throw away a bunch of shit when you move. That's just how it goes. And we had some sort of framed picture or something. And I remember just the dumpster was open and I just chucked it in there just so I could break the glass. Just because. And as I remember, because... Now that I think about it, the dumpster wasn't open. One of my friends was holding it open and almost just got his face probably slashed up with a shower of broken glass that was like maybe 2-3 inches away from his face. I mean, it would have been worth it. I was like, I'm sorry about your face, but I got to make the glass shatter.
Oh, man. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening. And Kelly, thank you so much for being here. This was a lot of fun as usual.
Yeah, no, this was awesome. This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, yeah. Any plugs you want to give? Go right ahead.
Yeah, so be sure to listen to the bi-weekly Joshi podcast on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network, Jumping Bomb Audio. As I'm talking right now, we're going to record tomorrow talking about all of the insane amount of shows that happened over Golden Week. Taylor and I are still trying. We've got like a list of shows we need to clear through today before we record tomorrow to get through everything. So, yeah, there's a lot. We're going to have a whole lot to cover. So make sure you listen to that. And just every other week, I think we do a great show. And then on Tuesday nights live on YouTube. I record the Panels on Pages podcast with some of my friends. We kind of, it started off as just like a pop culture show, and now we kind of just bullshit about our weeks and talk about whatever movies and stuff we've seen recently. It's a lot of fun. I think if you like wrestling, we recently talked about the state of AEW, but prior to that, we talked about my buddy Lee's body horror as he's going through having to get a chunk of his P tube replaced.
Ew.
So if you, if any of that sounds fun, listen to that Panels on Pages on YouTube and all your favorite podcast places to listen to things. So yeah, Andrew, thank you again for having me on. This was so much fun.
Oh, you're very welcome. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And Music of the Met is, of course, part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, just like Jumping Bomb Audio. You can find all the great podcasts on there at voicesofwrestling.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Met. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. Voicesofwrestling.com/Discord for all discussions and comments. Voicesofwrestling.com/donate. For all donations, just click the big donate button beneath the name Music of the Met or Jumping Bomb Audio, either one. If you donate, hey, thanks so much. You're awesome. And of course, rate, review, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other places. Kelly, thank you again, and I'll see you around.
See you next time.
All right, for Kelly Harris, I'm Andrew Rich, and I'll see you next time on Music of the Met. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.